Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, everybody, to yet another episode of Everyday Truth. We are in a brand new chapter today, chapter number 18. John and I were talking a little bit before the podcast this morning, just talking about how rich these passages are. And we do kind of somewhat try to map out, you know, how many episodes will this chapter be? Because you kind of have to piecemeal it. But we both agreed that if we wanted to do like 30 episodes on any one of these chapters, we could do it.
Oh, we sure could, Pastor. In chapter 18, although it's only 30 verses long, this is a rich chapter. It's a great chapter in the story of David as it continues to evolve here.
One of the things I wanted to do this morning is I wanted to give a shout out to two of my very favorite listeners. And I just met them in person last week, and they know who they are. It's Jaden, and Jaden is 7, and his brother Oliver, and Oliver is 5. And I want you to know that these two boys listen to the podcast every single day. And they are, well, I'm going to make them my honorary favorite listeners today. So Jaden and Oliver, thank you for listening. I love you guys, and I'm proud of you for wanting to learn the Bible. And I know I speak for John as well.
That is exactly right, Pastor. It's always a great thing when young people, you know, are taught the Word of God from an early age. This is a very exciting aspect in their lives.
Yeah, and John and Pearl aren't too bad either. That's mom and dad. But we definitely love Jaden and Oliver. Hey, we're in chapter number 18 in verse 1, where the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." So Saul has this conversation with David after the Battle of Elah, where David wins this great battle against Goliath, and the people have won this consequent battle against the Philistines. And Saul has made inquiry about the family of David. He's going to let them live tax-free now. Just everything is good. But there's a man that particularly resonates with David, and that's Jonathan. God knit their hearts together. John, why do you think that's the case?
As I think about Jonathan and David, I think of the heart they both had for God, the faith they both had in God. You know, if you've been with us before, listeners, you know we talked about chapter 14 to a great degree and talked about Jonathan's faith in God and how that Jonathan said, you know, God can do this, and his armor bearer had that same mentality. And I think when Jonathan saw David, that Jonathan saw in David that same heart and love for God that Jonathan had, and this would be, you know, a kindred soul, we could say, a man who very much had a heart for God that Jonathan did not see in his dad.
You know, I would say a hearty amen to everything you just said. And I do believe that's what knit their souls together. If I were to say, name for me a young man that was willing to stand up against the Philistines when Saul was not, who won a great battle that encouraged God's people to go on and win a great victory because of that battle, you would say, David. And you would be right. But long before David, that same thing could have been said about Jonathan, as you referenced, John, in chapter number 14, which is very interesting because the fact that Jonathan's soul is knit to David here tells me a lot about Jonathan's heart. Jonathan was, some people might be intimidated by this. Well, wait a minute, you know, I'm the hero. I'm the one in charge. And that's exactly the way Saul responds. That's the way, as you pointed out a couple episodes ago, that's the way that Herod responded when the wise men came and said, there's a king born. And, oh, is there? He wanted to get rid of him. But a person that truly wants God to get the credit, a person that truly has a heart for God and his people, is going to welcome anybody else that has that same heart, regardless of who gets the credit. And I think for that reason, and for those reasons, Jonathan and David's heart is just melded together.
As you talk, Pastor, and think about, as we think about what Jonathan and David are like here, your discussion right now reminds me of so many people in church sometimes that are envious. And they see people whom God is using, and rather than being excited for those individuals, who do they think they are? You know, and people can have a prideful reaction because of their own pride and not encourage people in Christ, but rather try to pull them down sometimes.
Nothing will demonstrate your Christianity any better than your ability to rejoice with people who are being successful in areas perhaps that you're not. You know, our true desire to see the kingdom of God advanced, regardless of who he uses, that to me is such a great indication about whether I'm building a kingdom with a little K or I'm building a kingdom with a big K. And big K kingdom people love when anybody is used of God to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You know, I think what Jesus tells his disciples when his disciples are a little bit jealous because there's this person who's, you know, preaching Christ, but he's not with them. And they say something to Jesus about it, and Jesus says, you know, let him alone. You know, if he's not against us, he's for us.
That's right.
And so what a great thought Jesus gives us.
Yeah, and John the Baptist, I think, intoned that same spirit when he said to his own followers, this is good. Jesus, he must increase. I must decrease. This is absolutely good that this is happening. And I think that's the spirit of Jonathan here in 1 Samuel chapter 18. Look at verse 2. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. So Saul, at least at surface glance, it appears that Saul also values David, also wants David close. So verse 1, Jonathan, boy, his heart is knit to David. Verse 2, Saul, I don't want David to go home. But what we're going to find in the ensuing verses is that Jonathan had an altruistic motive in his relationship with David. Saul had a very selfish motive and wanted to keep David close.
You know, what a great contrast you make, Pastor, at the very beginning of this chapter, which we're going to find as we go through this chapter unfold to a great degree, how much Saul is going to change on the outward. You're exactly right. Right now, on the outward, he appears to be, hey, things are great. David, I love David, bring him here. But Saul's heart, we said it many times already, but Saul never gets his heart right. And because he never will get his heart right, he will not live a life that is honoring and pleasing to God, but will be very selfish in what he does.
Saul's always love David's when David can do something for them and Saul can retain his status as the king of the pack, you know, the one that gets the glory. But when Saul realizes that David is going to get more attention, and it's going to steal what is really closest to Saul's heart, and that is his own reputation, then everything's going to come to a crashing halt. Look at verse 3. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And let's stop there. So they make a covenant together, a mutual agreement. And the Bible says the reason for that is because Jonathan loves David like he loves his own soul. And that really seems like New Testament language, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. And what a thought here that Jonathan gives to us of what a true friend is like. You know, Jonathan and David are just one of the classic examples of friendship. And we'll find this moving forward throughout the rest of our discussion of David as it relates with Jonathan. But this is a great example to us about truly loving people, wanting their well-being, doing what we can to help them make them successful. Jonathan is a great example of a person who wants to help this young man be all that he can be as he serves Christ.
And consider the fact that Jonathan is a good deal older than David, as we've pointed out several times. And the Bible says that Jonathan gave him his robe, gave him his garments, his sword. Remember how precious metal was. His bow, you know, his girdle, what kind of, you know, wrapped it all together. I mean, he gave David his own identity. He resourced David with his power. He gave him his identity and he gave him his power. Now, Jonathan was the son of the king. Jonathan was the son. David wasn't the son, but the son gave David his identity and his power. It reminds me of another son who gave identity and power.
It sure does, Pastor. As you say, what you're just talking about Jonathan, a person cannot help but think about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and how that we are co-heirs with him. And what a great privilege it does. I flesh this out in my mind. I think how that David is going to take what Jonathan gives him and uses what Jonathan does give him, I'm sure. We in our lives have been given much greater promises than David has been given here by Jonathan. But do we avail ourselves of the resources that God has given us as part of our inheritance?
Think about the fact that when you came to Christ because he loved you as his own soul. Jesus loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. So we see in Jonathan that depiction of Jesus. But then when you came to Christ, he robed you in his righteousness. He gave you your garments. Your old garments were not sufficient. He gave you the garments of royalty. And then he armed you with the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. So he gave you his own Spirit. The Spirit of God came to indwell you at the moment of your salvation. And it's the Spirit of God that illuminates to us the Word of God, which is the weapon that we wield, the Word of God. Empowered by the Spirit of God, all of that is a gift. It's a gift from the Son of God, the Son of the King. And what a great example we have here in Jonathan and David.
It sure is. And as I think about Jonathan, what he did for David, I'm reminded of all that our Savior has done for us. It's so overwhelming just to understand all that we have in Christ and all we had to be thankful for because what he has done for us.
Take a moment, my friends, and just think about that relationship and let that relationship remind you of your own relationship with Jesus. Whether you're 7 or 5 years old, or whether you're 70 and 50 years old, it really doesn't make a difference. We have a Savior who loves us, who gave us his own identity, who's empowered us by his own Spirit, and you and I can walk forward in the confidence of that relationship. I hope that you have a great day today, my friends, and we look forward to jumping into verse 5 tomorrow. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.